Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost and try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I can still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. And when I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels with extras including advanced commercial free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks and more.
After a moment there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a family trip leaves a listener seeing a little ghost boy. A coal miner has a feeling of dread and soon realizes why. A date doesn't exactly work out when the couple goes to a restaurant filled with black-eyed people. And a brother moves in with his two siblings, and then something begins to attach to the siblings in their sleep. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
That's a creepy idea of going into the Chipotle and you look around and everyone is black-eyed people.
I don't think that's the scariest thing you have to mess with at Chipotle.
I would drop my burrito and run.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I don't care if I got extra corn in it. It's going to have to wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although they're pretty easy to carry with you. I could probably run out of there.
You can run with your burrito.
I would probably be taking a bite of the burrito as I was running out.
I could see that.
Of the Chipotle from the black-eyed people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like not just black-eyed kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe some have grown up. I mean, could that possibly be? There's like,
I don't know.
It's like, because there's been black-eyed kid stories for a good generation now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just grew up. And now the black-eyed kids are their kids. And these are the grown-ups now enjoying a 2-for-20 combo at the Applebee's.
Yeah. That could be it.
I don't know.
Because they still want to celebrate their birthday at Applebee's.
I don't know. Maybe they do. If you were a paranormal entity, I don't know. Where would you frequent?
Probably someplace that had really good desserts, because then you can eat all you want and it doesn't affect you.
I really don't care about desserts.
I know you don't.
I'd be like, yeah. I mean, they're fine, but...
That's my thing.
I like the savory. I think I would be like at a Red Lobster. Yeah. I would have my paranormal face stuck in the Cheddar Bay bowl.
Sure.
And then people will be like, why is there a weird noise like coming out of the bowl of bread? It's the Cheddar Bay biscuits sound like they're breathing. And it's just me.
That's so gross.
Just taking it all in.
That's really gross. I have to tell you
that's what I would do. Then there'd be a paranormal like beard whisker that would get caught in one of the biscuits, and they'd be like eating it and like, oh my god, what is this?
That's gross.
I'd just be like, woo, that's how it would go down.
Are you going to do that? Are you going to make your own ghostly sound effects when you're a ghost? Are you going to go really... around and haunt people and go, ooh?
That's the thing. I'm going to do what's expected. I'm going to do really what no ghosts do. I'm going to do what they've seen on television shows. And I'm just going to make those sounds. But it's going to be a really poor version of it because it's going to be me doing it. It's not going to be like instrumentation. It's going to be that. Woo-woo! Or that that sound that you hear on everything from Hell's Kitchen to Ghost Adventures, that very slow build that ends up sounding like a knife shear, just shoo.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to do things like that. I'm really going to play it up. You're going to be like, why does it sound like...
But you're going to be the ghost that is physically doing that to where they can see you doing it, so it makes it really funny.
Like, oh my God, there he is. Oh my God, he's making the noises too.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to go down. I'm just warning everyone so they're completely aware. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And Jody writes in. Jody.
No.
Actually, it'd be really rude to say that.
Yeah.
So I won't because I was going to make a reference to the Amityville.
I thought about changing her name, but I didn't want
just
to.
Just because I'm going to.
Yeah, because I knew you would do that.
Okay. Jody, I know you're not the animal from the Amityville Horror. You just were named after that. You can thank your parents for that. Hey, Tony and Jenny, I'm a 20-year-old student studying film and television in university and a strong believer in the paranormal, and I am from Wales in the UK. I really admire the work you do, and thank you for creating entertaining shows to listen to weekly. Your show gets me through long workouts in the gym and through my study sessions in the library. Anyway, to my story. So the first paranormal experience I encountered, I was staying in France with my family. We always stayed in these mobile homes, which was part of the camping site. I had really great memories from the trip, except for this one night. I slept in the same room as my brother and my parents in the other room. I remember being woken up suddenly and drawn to a shadowy figure sitting on my brother's bed. I could just about make out the face. He looked around 8 years old at the time, wearing Victorian clothes and a top hat. He looked sad, as if he had just come back from a funeral. Shivers went up my spine, especially when he looked at my brother sleeping, and then back at me, and then disappeared. Of course, being as young as I was, I ran to my parents' room and slept there for the night. Alongside that story, I've had a recent episode with two ghost children last year at my old university accommodation. I've been told that accommodation was the oldest on campus. It was obviously late at night, and I was woken by a presence in my room. When I woke, I saw two ghost boys standing by my wardrobe, holding hands, dressed in old clothes. The presence I felt with these children much more sinister than my first encounter. They had black holes where their eyes should have been. I could see these features because my curtains couldn't draw all the way, and always left a gap from the moonlight to peep through. They stood there for a good while, eventually left, and I stayed up for the rest of the night. It'd be amazing if you could possibly share these stories on your podcast, as I'd be grateful to hear what you guys think of my stories. If not, that's fine, too. Have a wonderful day. I'm a big fan, and keep up the good work. Is this the only black-eyed story?
No.
There's more.
No, this is...
Okay, so I thought...
This, I don't think, is technically a black-eyed children's story.
It's, this is just a...
Their eyes are just gone.
Yeah.
It's not like they're looking at you and their eyeballs are black.
What would you rather run into when you're walking down
Knowing
the street?
Knowing what I know, the ones where their eyes are gone.
Yeah?
Yeah. Than the children with the black eyes. Because it could just be just a kid ghost if their eyes are gone. Mm-hmm. But if it's black-eyed children, then no.
That's a would you rather you thought you'd never have to play?
Yeah, it is.
Now we know the answer.
That's a would you rather I didn't think I'd ever have to know the answer to, but I do.
Well, it's good. It's just in case you're walking down the road someday.
Uh-huh.
It's out for a nice leisurely stroll.
Because I do that.
See the squirrels. See some deer. And then all of a sudden you see two children walking down the road towards you. One, black eyes. One, no eyes. And they're missing feet. They're hovering, kind of slowly coming forward. And you're wondering, are they on rollerblades? Are they on those wheelie shoes? No, there's no feet. Which side of the road do you gravitate to?
I don't know.
Hmm?
Next story.
Just, you got to think about these things. You have to have a plan.
I don't have to have a plan.
Always have a plan. Hey, here's a plan. When you're looking to hire people, have an idea on where the best place is to find them. ZipRecruiter, that is the answer to that dilemma. If you're hiring every business, of course, you need good people. You need a good way to find them, though. That's not always the easiest part. Something better than posting a job online and praying that the right people will see it. No, don't go down that road. That's a road better left not traveled. ZipRecruiter knew there was a better way. So they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply for your job. These invitations have completely revolutionized the way you can find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just a day. ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. Candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter helps you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, absolutely free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. 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 ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Steven writes in. 2 years ago, while working at an underground coal mine in Boone County, West Virginia, I had an interesting thing happen that could be considered a coincidence, but I prefer to believe it was the power of disaster and the forces of the human soul. We were working the midnight shift, hoot owl shift for all the miners listening, doing a belt move. Belt move involves unplugging all the machinery, which runs on high voltage cables, rerouting this cable closer to the working face, moving the power box forward closer to the working face, and adding a piece of belt to the conveyor along with support structure. Sure, I do that all the time. I get that. We had been hard at work for a couple of hours and were in the home stretch. While adding structure around 2:30, I got an awful feeling of dread and pain as if there was a disturbance in the force. Seconds later, the power box kicked off as well as the battery-operated equipment at the same time. We all figured this somewhat odd, but reset everything and kept plugging on. I couldn't shake the feeling of dread, and when I told some coworkers about it, my section boss piped up and said not to even mention stuff like that. I'll bring misfortune upon the shift and all those working. Superstition runs deep in the coal mine community, so I kept quiet. About 25 minutes or so after the initial feeling of dread, a cool breeze swept through where we were working, and I'm sure I wasn't the only one who felt it. Thinking the ventilation was not correct, I began to investigate further. All the ventilation was operating properly and set up correctly. I thought nothing of it and finished out my work before doing preparation for the next night's work. 15 minutes go by, but 90 minutes after the initial feeling of dread, and a warmth and calm flew over my body. About that time, the section boss crackles over the radio for all workers to come to the power box. This is where things get strange and sad. Apparently around 2:30, we lost a worker to an unfortunate incident in our sister mine in the same mountain. It took roughly 90 minutes to evacuate him from the section in which he worked to the outside where he was pronounced DOA by the paramedics. Take what you will from this incident, but I feel it was the power of the spirit of life calling for help, followed by disbelief in the loss of a person, and lifted into the next world upon extraction. I'll never forget that feeling or experience for the rest of my days, and since then I've been more receptive to unexplainable events. Thank you for your time, and keep up the great work on the show. Steve from West Virginia.
I think it was the spirit of that miner that kind of was that warm calm that came over them.
Yeah.
Kind of there.
It was probably the distress and everything at first, like you described it. And then once he kind of got out and was like at peace and not in pain and suffering, it was boom.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm here now without really knowing what it is. And I'm guessing not everyone there necessarily felt it. I'm thinking he's probably a lot more sensitive than maybe the rest.
Sure.
Or not maybe everybody, but many.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that experience with us here on the program. Greatly appreciate it. If you've not checked it out yet, our second ghost-related podcast is out. It's called The Grave Talks. And I say it like that because then you know to look for The Grave Talks. It's thegravetalks.com. totally separate show from Real Ghost Stories Online. It's an interview-based show where I interview people who've had really incredible, and I don't know if incredible is always the operative word, but certainly, you know, dramatic.
Yeah.
Incredible sometimes sounds like great, but it's certainly dramatic. Very extreme paranormal situations in their life, whether it be something that happened in their own homes or a haunted location. Very, very interesting stories. Andrea Perrin joined us for a brand new conversation about life after The Conjuring and her ventures afterwards. Hinsdale House, Watervliet, Beatty Mansion, and many, many more to come. Please go over and subscribe to that on whatever podcast platform you like. We're on Apple Podcasts now, I know for sure, Google Play, and many other as they get populated. It's called The Grave Talks. Press subscribe, leave some stars, review, helps us grow that show, and hope you enjoy it as another one of your paranormal-themed podcasts that you end up regularly listening to. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Yasmin writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm writing to you from the Åland Islands in Finland. I've been listening to your podcast for a few weeks now, and I love it. I've had a few weird things happen to me over the years. One of the scariest, and as far as I know, my first encounter with the paranormal was 13 years ago when I was 15 years old. My friends and I played with the Ouija board a lot, and usually nothing happened. We didn't have the real Ouija board, so we always created our own with baking paper, a pencil, and a glass. You had to put the glass over a candle for a little while, and then put it down on the paper, upside down to put one or two fingers on the glass. So this one night, we decided to play at one of my friend's houses. Let's call her Stella in this story. Stella's parents were renovating their usual home, so they lived in another house during that time. Her parents were gone for the night, and we were a group of five who gathered to play. We wanted it to be extra creepy, so we started playing at exactly 10 o'clock. Let's just say be careful what you wish for. Stella said she didn't believe in this stuff, so she didn't want to play, just wanted to watch us play. Not sure if she was afraid and didn't want to say that to us, maybe. Anyway, Stella had this big, friendly, fluffy cat who was sleeping in the chair next to the sofa where we were sitting, and a few minutes after we started playing, we noticed that the cat had sat up and was staring at us with pitch black eyes. Super creepy, but we continued playing. We started getting answers to our questions, but we weren't sure if it was a spirit or if someone was pushing the glass around. After a while, I asked the spirit, "What's your name?" and it answered, "P-L-U-M." We all looked at each other confused since that was a weird name and none of us even thought it was a name. Stella had turned white in her face and quietly said to us, "Sometimes we call the cat Plum." And as she said that, the freaking cat ran out of the room. Hell no, was my first thought. I asked everyone, did anyone here except Stella know that they call the cat Plum sometimes? But none of us had ever heard her say it, and she wasn't even playing with us, so she couldn't have been the one pushing the glass. I started freaking out on the inside, but I tried not to show it to the others. Stella started calling for the cat, but he wouldn't come back. "That's so strange. He always comes," said Stella. We all got this super bad feeling, and after a few minutes, we heard something break in another room, and everyone screamed. And a few seconds later, we heard the door handle on the front being quickly and kind of aggressively pushed up and down. Stella ran to the front door, opened it. She thought maybe some boys from school were messing with us or something, but nobody was there. She then went to look in the other room to see what broke and found a potted plant on the floor, but the cat was nowhere to be found. She came back to us and told us about it, and this was the moment when the two of us couldn't keep the tears away anymore. I'd never been more afraid in my life, but somehow I think I looked kind of calm. I guess I was in shock. We wanted to stop this right away, but we had this rule that you couldn't stop playing before the spirit gave permission. We thought that if you stopped without the spirit's permission, that a portal would be left open or something. So we begged the spirit to leave and let us stop, but the glass just went around, round, around in circles, faster and faster. I was in such shock that I don't remember how long this was going on, but after a while it gave us permission to stop. And I shit you not, 10 seconds after we stopped playing, the cat came back into the room and was completely normal. I have no idea what we came in contact with that night, and maybe I don't want to. I don't know if the cat was possessed or what, but it seems so. Or that the cat was just feeling the energy of whatever we were in contact with and was hiding while that energy was in the house. That night, when I had to take my scooter home and go to sleep all by myself, was not very nice. After this, we never played again, and I don't think I ever will again. If I didn't believe in ghosts and stuff like that before, I definitely believed after this. And after years went by, I was telling the story, I started thinking that maybe it wasn't so bad, and maybe I was exaggerating. But last year, I remembered that I had written about this experience in my diary the day after it happened. I've been keeping a diary now for like 14 to 15 years, and when I found out and read the post about this night, it was exactly as I remembered it. Scary as hell. So that was my story. Thanks for a great show. I'm not an EPP yet, but I'm thinking about becoming one soon.
So I think one of the things that we need to discuss first is that you have to say goodbye on the board to close it. You don't have to ask their permission. You just have to say goodbye to it.
Yep.
That's the biggest thing. Don't mess with Ouija boards, but if you're going to, make sure you close it properly. And I think she kind of alluded to them not knowing that that's how it worked.
Mm-hmm. And that seems to be a common thing where kids are messing with it and then they find out they shouldn't be, or they know they shouldn't be, and they hear mom or dad coming and they just quickly put it away and it's never closed.
Yeah.
And then things start happening. So I don't use Ouija boards, but when I do, I close them.
Thank you, Dos Equis Ouija board awareness.
Have a Dos Equis in one hand and a planchette in the other. And you never know what magic could
occur. Just use the Dos Equis bottle as the planchette.
I suppose that could probably work, and I bet someone's done that.
Probably.
We're going to get a letter from somebody with that picture of a Ouija board with the Dos Equis on it.
I have no doubt beer bottles have been used as planchettes.
Because that's when it becomes a great idea. It's like, oh, let's do this. That'd be fun. Yeah. Hey, maybe it'll become a good idea for us to do that on Tuesday nights when we do our live show.
Nope.
Start doing it with whiskey glasses.
With shot glasses? No. I don't think so.
And we'll have different spirits, and their different spirits will affect how it...
That is not happening.
What if I carve that onto the bar where we record a Ouija board?
If you carve it onto the bar, you're going to be in deep shit.
That would be interesting.
You're not going to deface that bar.
I know I'm not going to deface the bar. Yeah. Wouldn't that be interesting?
If no, you... it would not be interesting at all.
No, I'm saying, what if you were going through and you're trying to like strip some paint off something or strip whatever off of a piece of wood. And then as you're doing it, you realize, oh my gosh, and you're getting down to the grain, the stain or the paint that was covering it was covering someone had a Ouija board on something.
Mm-hmm.
How would you react to that?
I don't know that I would keep that item just because I'd be too freaked out.
Yeah, like wondering why was this here? And
it's like, I'm not sure that it's dangerous anymore, mm-hmm. but it's going to freak me out to where I'm not going to enjoy having whatever that is.
Yeah. It's an interesting thought. I don't know. I'm just wondering if that would ever happen. That seems like one of those things that would be great. It'd be a great producer move for a home show. Around Halloween time, where they overproduce things. You know, it's like some of the home shows are like they go in there and they're trying to flip it, and it's like, oh, look, they were UFO enthusiasts. There's aluminum foil over all the windows. And
no, they were growing pot, is what they were
exactly.
doing.
Exactly. But I've seen one where they actually, it was like, that's the angle they took was UFO.
Oh.
And it was like, that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
And you could tell, like, it was just the producer did it. But I could see that being an interesting, let's make this real spooky. When we strip off the wood from this banister, there's, you know, some sort of horrific message or something.
I guess it's not any stranger than pentagrams being found on bunk beds. So,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Robin writes in, I have this strange and almost unbelievable event happen in my life. So a friend and I leave the movies and we were hungry. As we drove around looking for places to eat, I had an urge to visit this one restaurant. The restaurant itself is one of those buffet places where you walk around preparing your own plate. The moment I walked in, I got a creepy vibe. I wasn't sure what it was about at first, so we were seated by our waiter, and I got up, grabbed a plate, and began preparing my dinner. I'm a friendly person and tend to say hi to people, around. So I looked one of the other customers in the eye, and their eyes were black. Like in Supernatural, when demons take over a human, their eyes go pitch black exactly like that. Okay, so at first I thought those could be contacts, because that's not the strangest thing that could happen. Anyway, it gave me chills as well. After a couple of seconds, the stranger turned away from me and didn't say anything. I felt a bit off about that, but continued placing food on my plate. After a few moments, I began to feel the sensation of being watched. Every time I looked around, more people would stare back with their eyes being normal, and then they would gloss over with the blackness. So I turned to my friend across the table who believed in the paranormal and mentioned what I was seeing and feeling. For a moment or two, they didn't respond. Then suddenly the voice coming out of my friend wasn't his own. It was deeper and calmer, and there was an urgency in his voice. "You guys need to leave." The voice itself confused me, but since it was the weirdest paranormal experience I've ever had, I simply asked, "Who are you?" The voice said he was the Archangel Gabriel, and that I'd better get out of there. He said he couldn't keep me safe and that we had to go. I told him I didn't understand what was happening. He said it didn't matter what or who was possessing everyone. I looked at only that I get out of the restaurant because he couldn't secure my safety. So I was super freaked out, rose from the table. He asked where the boy who he was possessing kept his keys, and I told him the right pocket. He then said he was very annoyed that he had to drive a car because they were stupid and dangerous. So Gabriel kept possession of my friend until we left the parking lot, and when we left, my friend was confused about why he was driving, why we were in the car, and asked what happened at the restaurant. I tried to explain what happened, but he thought I was a lunatic. I haven't talked to him since. It's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me.
That is a pretty eventful story. And I'm just surprised that something possessed this kid, or this kid acted as if he was possessed by an angel.
That stuff went down every single year at my grandma's birthday party at the old country buffet.
Okay.
It did, I swear to God.
Yeah.
After you get some of the halibut that's been sitting in that pan for too long, possession.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you imagine being in the Golden Corral and having that experience?
No.
It'd be really disappointing if you're just about to like dig into the fried shrimp or something, and then you look over and it's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Everyone here, their eyes are black. Maybe I shouldn't be going for this.
I think I would have left had I noticed that the person sitting next to me had black eyes, and whether they're wearing contacts or not, that's a bad, you know, they're either something that's bad or they're a bad decision maker, and I don't want to be near them.
As an adult, and we've heard a lot of ghost stories about this sort of stuff, not necessarily at the Ponderosa, but at...
Are you naming every buffet restaurant you can think of?
Anything I can think of. Golden Corral, Ponderosa.
How do you know it wasn't like a Chinese buffet?
It could possibly have been that, but there's not a whole lot of those that are just national chains.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
At the Bonanza. Or Bonanza?
Yeah.
You get the plate with a steak on it, and it said like Bonanza on the actual, it was like etched in the metal.
Etched in the metal?
Yeah, because you know, like the steak plates that those places used to have, they were like, it was a really thick plastic that was safe or some sort of thing that wouldn't burn you. Then the metal was inside of it to keep the steak.
Okay.
I think they literally just pulled them out of the oven and then gave them to you.
Okay.
But the word Bonanza was in the middle of the plate.
I never ate at a Bonanza, but I know what you're talking about.
We had a Bonanza and a Ponderosa within like a walking distance of each other.
Wow.
Yeah. So just picturing all the horrible things that could happen there. Other than foodborne illness.
Yeah.
But yeah. What would you do? Okay, my point was, as an adult, if you run into this situation, yes, you're inclined to leave.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, I'm out of here. Let's say you're 10.
Yeah.
And you're at the place. It's a little more exciting to be at these places when you're 10.
Sure.
Especially if they have the dessert bar.
Uh-huh.
And you have all the toppings you could... Wait, and you haven't quite gotten to go pull the lever. Or lever, depending on what part of the country you're in. And you're ready to get that vanilla chocolate swirl and top it with gummy bears and sprinkles. and you notice this is going on. Do you continue to enjoy the ice cream buffet, or do you get the hell out of there when you're 10? Which one wins out?
You throw a fit till your parents take you out.
Well, what if your parents want, I'm saying, what if the parents want to leave, but you're like, no, I really want to get my ice cream.
No.
I think I'd be more like, I want the ice cream.
Parents would probably most likely say, we will go somewhere else and we will get you ice cream somewhere else.
Yeah.
If it's that big of a deal.
Wouldn't that be an interesting story to tell your kids someday where they're just like, you're driving down the road and they're like, hey, look, there's the Ponderosa. Why did we leave there so abruptly that one time 20 years ago?
Yeah.
That'd be a fun story to try and share. Oh, well, everyone was possessed.
Yeah. Fun times.
Let's role play. I'll be the little kid.
No, I'm not going to role play Ponderosa possession with you. This is messed up.
Oh, that hurts. Hashtag shit Jenny says, I'm not going to role play Ponderosa possession with you. Another thought you never thought you'd have to have.
No.
You're just knocking him out today.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to cause an accident for somebody listening to the show. Patrick writes in. My name's Patrick. I was born in the U.S. but grew up in a different country. I moved back and now enjoy my life in Washington State. The apartment I'm living in is a nice studio over a shop. A mother-in-law apartment. My landlord uses the shop to work on his semi-trucks and is on a big, almost 50 acres, beautiful property in the middle of the country. A few weeks ago, I came home early because my girlfriend had a bad day at work, and my plan was to clean, cook, and get everything nice for her. So I got home, cleaned the kitchen, and after that, the living room. After almost 30 minutes, I started cleaning the bedroom. I took the pillow. It was warm, like someone was lying on it. Like right after you stand up. My first thought was that the setting from the wall header behind the bed was way too high, but then I remembered that there is no wall heater, I think is what it's supposed to say. After this, I started feeling weird, and hairs on my arms started standing up, and I started feeling super emotional. I just finished everything and moved on. Last week, in the middle of the night, I thought I heard steps. I told myself it's the wood floors. Because of the steps, I woke up several times that night and started feeling, for no reason, really weird and sad. My girlfriend didn't wake up at all. The night after, I woke up, but still half asleep. And there was clearly steps, and sudden, it's like someone leans on the mattress right next to me. It was 100% like someone uses his fist to lean on it. I can feel the pressure on the mattress right next to my hip and the heat from the arm touching me. Now, I was awake because I was scared that something is wrong with my girlfriend. I opened my eyes and saw a figure standing right next to my bed and leaning with his left arm on my mattress and his right hand close to my face like he, she, it wants to touch me. I looked to my right and my girl was sleeping. Suddenly, the pressure on the mattress was gone. I looked to my left and there was no figure anymore. Since this night, there are no steps. Nothing else happened. The property here has no known history of any bad events. We have a little bit down the road, a super old cemetery with a lot of old graves from the late 1800s. It was a logger town, but the cemetery is protected and well-maintained from the city. This is my first and only experience with a ghost. I'd like to hear what you guys think about that. By the way, no one in my family or friends passed away, and nothing has happened to me recently.
I think maybe it was just one of those I want to be noticed ghosts, and then after that, it just goes away.
Because mm-hmm.
It kind of ended once he noticed, you know, the pressure on the bed, and he felt the warmth. It's like, okay, maybe this ghost is trying to figure out why are you in my bed? Because mm-hmm. he seems to be a napping ghost with sure. heat, which is weird that he gives off heat.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's also looking at you like, why are you in my bed?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the living is the ghost to the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Are we looking at something where it was like someone from another place in time that's kind of mirroring itself?
Yeah.
that we've heard of before. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Taylor writes in, "Hi, I'm a new listener. After finding your podcast, I felt like I should share an experience I've had. Now, because of a couple experiences I have had, it's made me believe that there is possibly something beyond death. It has made me closer to believe that God does exist too. At this point in time, I personally believe that we will never really know if anything like that exists. I do have weird dreams that I feel like might have some sort of connection, but that's for another time. What I experienced is a little confusing, so bear with me. This happened when I was 12 or 13, and I still lived out in the middle of the woods. My parents decided to throw a little party one night, and I was pretty bored, so I decided to go have a walk in the woods late at night. I eventually got lost and had no idea where I was. I stood in place for a few minutes before I felt a little chill. Before I started to find my way back, I started to hear laughing. Little girl laughing. I knew I was alone, and it scared the hell out of me. I took off as fast as I could and managed to make it back home. That was the first of the three moments I had. The second time it happened, about 4 months later, I took my brother's black light and went into the bathroom to mess around with it for a bit. While I was scanning the walls, I came across a pair of handprints above the light switch. I was skeptical at first and called my brother into the bathroom, pointed it out to him, but he claimed he didn't see anything. I thought he was just joking, but I decided to take a picture on my phone and show some friends at school. I showed them the picture, but they also claimed that they didn't see anything. I was getting confused and feeling a little uneasy. I even sent the picture to one of my friends, and when they showed me, the prints weren't there on their phone, but they were still on mine. Fast forward about a year later, and the big one happened. I woke up in the middle of the night to get something to drink, and after I opened the refrigerator and started pouring me something to drink, I saw something to my left. I turned my head to the left a bit and saw that there was a girl standing there looking at me. I couldn't see her face very well. Her hair was in an odd way a bit and didn't have any glasses on. I assumed it was my sister and I told her to go to bed. I turned away, closed the door, and saw whatever I could of my sister sleeping on the couch. I turned back around and saw that the girl was gone. I couldn't go back to sleep that night. The weird thing about that last encounter was that I didn't feel anything change. I didn't feel that chill people claim to happen when you have a paranormal experience. I know that my old house wasn't haunted. It was a double-wide trailer that parents bought before they had me. Maybe something happened in the woods. I'm not really sure. Over the years, though, I always felt like something or someone was close by, but I never saw that girl again. I don't know what you can get from this story. I just know that it was weird and a bit confusing. I'd like to know who she is and what she was doing. Thanks for listening.
This might be one of those cases where it actually is a little girl, mm-hmm. and she found it in the woods, and it kind of stayed with her whole life.
Yeah.
I don't know, because most of the time when you have little girl ghosts, it's really not a little girl.
It's hard to know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose in some cases it is.
And this one, it just seemed like she just is doing little girl things.
Mm-hmm. Fairly harmless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good to hear that seems to be where it ended.
Maybe she got lost in the woods herself when she was little.
And now she's here. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Evan writes in, "Hey guys, I wanted to start with saying your show is awesome. I do a different outlook on the paranormal than you guys, I think, being a Christian, but nonetheless, I appreciate the outlet to share experiences. I live in near Raleigh, North Carolina. This is a short but awesome story that I experienced in my parents' house when I was a teen. I was about 17, and my little sister was about 14 at the time. It was a late weekend day, and she had a neighborhood friend over to spend the night. This friend of hers was a little strange and acted weird, and we're just hanging out in my room, the bonus room, which was downstairs in the basement. The girl pulled a Ouija board out of her book bag and asked if we wanted to try it out. Being my little sister and I were very interested in the paranormal and watching all the paranormal TV shows, we said yes, naturally, as a good brother, let them start first. After about 30 minutes of talking to this entity, I put my hands on the indicator to join in. Immediately, it stopped and wouldn't move no matter how lightly I touched it. I tried it again about 5 more times later and the same thing, so I just sat back and watched. About a minute later, I heard a little girl's giggle in the corner of my room. I slowly looked back towards my sister and her friend, attempting to not look like anything bothered me. My sister looked up towards me and asked, 'Did you hear that too?' They boxed it up, threw it all under the bed, under my bed of all places. And fast forward about a month or so, Ouija board still under my bed. My sister has complained about seeing things in the house, and I just chalked it up to her being a scared middle schooler. Just to kind of give you a picture of what the house layout looked like, the whole bathroom and three other bedrooms, including my sister's spare and parents' bedroom, and door that led to the stairs into my room were off the same hallway. One late night, I was taking a shower after being at work at the fire department, dried off, put gym shorts on, and turned off the lights to the bathroom before opening the door, trying not to let the lights bother my parents. When I opened the bathroom door and took a half a step out of the door, I heard and felt on the right side of my face a warm breath down my neck. I got spooked and ran to the basement door and turned the light on and opened the door. When I opened the door, I saw a massive black figure standing at the bottom of the steps looking at me. I couldn't see any facial features or anything. It was just a mist of black. My grandmother that lived with us at the time prayed over the house after I turned the Ouija board in the backyard. Since that day, I've been sensitive to the paranormal. Next time I'll write in about my encounter with what I believe to be an angel.
I think sometimes you just open yourself up when you do these things,
mm-hmm.
and you just can't close it back.
Yeah.
And I think that may have happened here.
Is there ever a way to reverse it if you didn't close it correctly?
I don't know. I mean...
Or is it like trying to finish a game of Mousetrap 3 weeks later after you took the board apart and then put it away, and now it's like, let's go and try and finish it.
It might be like that, yeah.
It's like, there's just no way.
It's like, hey, I'm going to, you know, start doing this again to try and contact with the spirit I forgot to say bye to.
Yeah, and there's no guarantee you're going to get on that same page with that mm-hmm. same spirit. No. Thank you for sharing that experience. Courtney writes in, hi, I'm a new listener. Love your show. My name is Courtney from Orlando, Florida. I have a story about something that I experienced when I was about 14. I went over to my aunt's townhouse one day and went swimming with my cousins. It was like any normal day. We hung out at the pool for a few hours and walked back to the house, ate lunch, went outside to play. It was at this point I had noticed something in my 12-year-old cousin's window. I could see a black shadow figure staring at us. So I asked my other cousins if they saw it. The other two did. Figure stayed there for about a minute, then disappeared. We brushed it off, but at the moment I knew what I saw was an apparition, as I've always been sensitive to spirits since I was a baby and grew up in a haunted house all my life. Anyway, later we were finishing playing outside. Both our parents left us in the house while they went and grabbed dinner. A large wasp ended up in the house. You know, we were sitting in the living room and it had landed on the wall next to the closet that was adjacent to me. I grabbed a flip-flop and cautiously approached the bug to kill it. That was when things got really bizarre. I felt a dark presence, something threatening, and in all honesty, it felt demonic. I pushed the feeling aside to worry about after I've dealt with the wasp. So I rose with a shoe in my hand and proceeded to smack the bug on the wall. The shoe made contact with the wall three times with a sharp smack, each time in a rapid-fire manner. I said, die. The closet door flew open after a third time. I said, die. My attention now turned to the closet, which I had seen a solid black figure. It had then rushed at me. I was frozen in fear. Later that evening, I had asked my aunt if she had ever felt any negative, potentially demonic energies. She had a few weeks prior. She told me she was lying in her bed when it felt like a person sat on her stomach. She was pregnant at the time and attempted to choke her. I've done research on the house to no avail. I've decided to cleanse the house myself, but to this day, there is still a dark energy that I can feel every so often that has the same signature, I guess. But that is just one of the many experiences I had. Hopefully, I'll become an EPP soon. Hope you use this on your show. Love you guys. Keep up the good work.
That's interesting that trying to get rid of the wasp is actually what stirred it up and made it come after her.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was something to do with the die, you know, shouting at the wasp when she's banging on the wall right next to the closet.
You think the wasp had anything to do with it?
I don't know.
Sometimes there's like flies involved and
yeah,
things of that nature.
I don't know. It's just one, maybe not.
Yeah. The entity was confused by the threats of the wasp,
mm-hmm.
thinking it was made at that. Lizette writes in, hey guys, little background. I've never been attacked by any spirits, nor have I experienced sleep paralysis until my brother moved in with me and my older brother. This happened a few years ago. I'd recently gotten home from work around 2 a.m., fallen asleep on the couch. And sometime after I fell asleep, I felt my feet move to the left and head moving towards the right. While this was happening, I somehow woke up, not completely, but just enough to realize what was happening. After my head was moved, I felt my eyes slowly open, and I was able to see the TV and my brother asleep in the other couch. But I also noticed a black shadow. When I realized what was going on, I shut my eyes hard. I tried to see if I was able to move my body or at least make a sound, but I was unable to. It hit me then that I was going under sleep paralysis. I quickly started saying the Our Father prayer. In the middle of the prayer, I heard a dark, menacing laugh. It caught me off guard, and I wasn't expecting it. My heart started beating faster. I started praying all over again with more stern in my voice. I heard the laughter again. This time, it was mocking me. I continued saying, "That's right, pray, keep going, keep going." Then the voice changed from dark to encouraging, almost like helping me. Then somehow I saw a small pug staring right at me, and then somehow transformed or shifted into a yellowish wolf, and it lunged at me. At the same time, I grabbed a pillow, started hitting it over and over and over while saying the prayer. I heard the voice again, but I heard more than one voice, all of them encouraging me to continue praying. Then I woke up to myself throwing the same pillow that I had grabbed flying towards the TV. When I realized what had happened, I spoke out and said, "This is not funny. You can't just come into my life and play tricks on me. I'm not a toy. I'm aware you are here, and I do acknowledge you, but leave me alone. I don't bother you, and you don't bother me." After I went back to sleep, 2 weeks later, the same thing occurred to my brother, except it happened at 4 a.m. after he left to work. He told me that he dreamt of seeing my mother and grandfather, and he kept asking what the time was. He liked being late to work, but they didn't know, and then he heard a man scream directly at his right ear. He said it felt like an eternity. He then woke up to a ringing sound in his ear. He threw off the covers, saw his shirt was wet from sweat. He looked at the time and realized it had only been 5 minutes since I'd left. Sorry for this. Keep this story so long. I was going to call in, but I had surgery and won't be able to speak for a month or so. I was told I was sensitive, but I don't believe so. I do get urges to leave places if I know something bad is going to happen, and I'm able to know how a person looks before even meeting them, but I don't see it as being completely sensitive. I believe that the person who screams at my brother was an old man from the mid-60s. And for me, I believe it was just an evil spirit, and if it's true, then I fear for my brother, for I know it's attached to him. He's an alcoholic, and I was told that demons are attached more to those who are addicts or are not strong-spirited. I'd love to hear what you guys think. Thank you, and enjoy your day.
I think there's something definitely attached to the brother, because it all started when he moved in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just anybody's guess what that is. But I think it's obviously something evil.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a possibility there's multiple things there kind of hanging around. It's really hard to know for sure, but obviously something not good.
Yeah.
Has found a home.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. You sign up over at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes of the show. Tons of them there for you to binge away on, almost up to 200. $5 a month is all it is, or you can sign up for a full year. Or if you like Patreon, you can do it through that. And there's different tier options there with different bonuses as well. Everything, though, starts at $5 a month to get access to all of our bonus episodes. If you want more extra stuff and like to support the show more, go for it. We do greatly appreciate it. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.